Quarters beat me. There we go. Galatians in your Bibles, please. The book of Galatians, chapter 3. We're talking about living by faith. The statement, the just shall live by faith, is found four different times in Scripture. We've looked at two of those so far. And we want to continue to do that this morning, going to the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to read 14 verses as we begin, verses 1 through 14, to get the context of what we're talking about here. Galatians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, Paul says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. Here's the statement, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come through the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let's pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we do thank you that you gave the law because it served a very important purpose for us. But Lord, we come now to the time when we must live by faith. Help us, Lord, to understand what Paul the Apostle is teaching here. And Lord, help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to determine that we are going to live by faith. And we'll give you the praise for what you accomplish now in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul writes to the church at Galatia, one of the churches in what's now Turkey or Asia Minor, to combat a heresy that's crept into the church. They're a group of people called the Judaizers. And it seemed their goal was, every place Paul would go and preach the gospel, he would preach the good news of Jesus Christ. That by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And people would get saved, and they would gather together, and then this group of, they called them Judaizers, would come through. And they would try to persuade the people that yes, it's great to be saved. It's great to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. But understand that you cannot be saved, your salvation cannot be complete unless you also keep all the tenets of the law. And they were going, and indeed, as Paul says, they were preaching another gospel. He's saying, you've been deceived. that they're telling you that salvation is not complete in Jesus Christ, that salvation only becomes complete as you add the law to the gospel. We've been looking at the just shall live by faith. In Habakkuk, we saw that faith, we can live by faith in the face of overwhelming opposition. We haven't faced that yet in our day here in North America. There certainly are those in the world today who are. If you read the news, if you follow anything that's happened to you in the world today, you understand that Christianity is the most persecuted faith in the world today. And we are not persecuted. We may be a bit discriminated against here in North America. But we are not persecuted, if you will, in North America. But I'm old enough to have seen things. Do you know, when I was in high school in Michigan, 1967 through 1971, the school board would not allow any events, school events, to be scheduled on Wednesday night, because that was prayer meeting night. Try that today. Go to church and see how many churches actually have a prayer meeting night. I just saw recently a school was forcing students to quote the tenets of Islam and to quote the prayers and to memorize the prayers of Islam that signified a conversion in that person to Islam. It's incredible they can do that in the schools, but if you try to teach in the schools John 3:16, they start hollering, oh my, you can't do that. But understand that we can live by faith, regardless of the circumstances round about us. We can live by faith. In Romans, we saw that we are justified by faith. That we are, that in salvation, that it's our faith in Jesus Christ, faith in his finished work on Calvary, that justifies us, that sets us as righteous before God because we trust him by faith. Now here in Galatians, we see that we are to live by faith as opposed to living by the tenets of the law. Paul begins in chapter 3 with some arguments. Paul likes arguments. Now, he didn't necessarily like to argue, but he liked to set forth propositions and then through logic prove those propositions. We see first an argument from reason. Now, these first five verses here are not very complimentary to the Galatians. I circle a lot of things in my Bible. I've got circled there twice. He says, oh, foolish Galatians in verse 1. Verse 3, are ye so foolish? He's not complimenting them very much. But what does he say? He tells us first that the Galatians are being deceived. Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? You've been deceived. It's as though a spell, if you will, has been cast over you. That you are saved. You've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But now someone has come in with a teaching that has bewitched you, that has deceived you. It is a wrong teaching. It is a false teaching. It's a teaching that's not found as a basis in Scripture. You have been deceived. Look at the end of verse 1 and on into verse 2. He says, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So I've got one question for you. This one question really is, should settle everything. He goes on, but he says it should settle everything. He says, when you got saved and the Spirit of God came and dwelt in your life, did you do anything to deserve that? Was there a work of the law that you did that you might receive the Spirit of God in salvation? Did you go through some religious ordinance? Did you practice some activity over and over and over again? The answer is obviously no. Then he presents the premise that he follows, that follows that if you're saved by faith, how can you grow with the law? If you're saved by faith, how can you grow with the law? Look at verse 3 and 4 again. Again, he used that word, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? If you're saved by faith, can you grow with the works of the law? We have to understand, and I want you to understand very clearly what I'm saying today. I'm talking about the law, the Old Testament law, the Ten Commandments, and then the 613, if you will, additions to that, that make up the body of the law. I'm not talking about as Christians saying there's some things that are wrong and some things that are right. As Christians, we understand there is sin and there is righteousness. We understand there's some things Christians ought not to be doing because it's not pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And you know what? All those are not written in the Bible in thou shalt and thou shalt not. Remember Pastor Stanford, he was here, is telling about he was working as a jail guard down in Marystown, and some of the prisoners in the jail there asked him if he knew the Ten Commandments. And he said, yeah, and he was down this little slot at the bottom of the door where they pass stuff in and out. And so he's kneeling down on the floor, and they got three guys sitting there on the other side looking through the slot at him. And so he goes through the Ten Commandments, and one of the guys says, well, there's nothing there about doing drugs, is there? And that's our attitude sometimes. But Pastor Sanford said, well, you know, number one kind of covers it. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. And if we're worshiping God, we can't be really doing drugs. And he said, well, yeah, okay, preacher, you know. But we have to understand that we cannot find chapter and verse for everything. But the Bible has principles for us. Things we should be doing and things we should not be doing. But here we're talking about the law. The Old Testament law is trying to impose the law upon these people who've been saved in the last few years here at Galatia. Look at verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He says, miracles are by faith. And we see, as we see the body of the New Testament being completed, we see a great number of miracles in the New Testament. We saw miracles in the Gospels as Christ went about and doing good. And we saw the sick were healed and the dead were raised and they were fed, and miraculous things. We saw miraculous things in the book of Acts as Paul and Peter, and they went about taking the gospel to these communities. And so Paul proposes the question, you have seen miracles take place. I don't know what miracles the church at Galatia might have seen. But he said, those miracles, did they come by works of the law or by faith? The answer again is obvious. Miracles were not produced because somebody perfectly kept the Ten Commandments or perfectly kept the 613 tenets of Moses. Miracles occurred because an individual put their faith in an omnipotent God who could do the impossible. Paul turns from his arguments from reason in these first five verses to arguments from Scripture. Arguments from Scripture. The first we see is the example of Abraham. Verse 6 down through verse 9. even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which are be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. We find that we are the children of Abraham. You know, there's some children's songs I don't like much. It's a matter of preference. It's not a matter of conviction. One of those children's songs is Father Abraham. And I'm not going to attempt to begin to sing Father Abraham for you, but you have to use your right hand, your left hand, nod your head, turn around, sit down, blow your nose. I forget what all you're supposed to do. But the principle of that song is correct. That we trace back to Father Abraham. Abraham was justified by faith. We have to understand that Abraham trusted God years before the law was brought into practice. That Abraham was justified by faith. Now, we have to understand that the faith of Abraham was seen in his works. James deals with this quite a bit in the book, first couple of chapters of the book of James. He says, I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith produces works. We see an example of Abraham. Faith puts us in the company of Abraham. But we have to understand that by the law there is condemnation. Look at verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Demands perfect or be obedience. Paul's quoting Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. He says, the law brings a curse. Why? Because the law says, if you violate one tenet of the law, you're guilty of all the law. You say, if that's the case, then why did God give the law? I'm glad you asked. There are really a couple, three reasons. First of all, God gave the law to show that he had a high and holy standard. He gave the law to show that there is a perfect standard that God expects. Secondly, God gave the law to show that man could never of himself live up to that standard. Because if we look just at the Ten Commandments, we know each one of us fall short. Each one of us have violated one, and many times more than one, of the Ten Commandments. We fall guilty before the whole of the law. So the law was to show God had a high and holy standard. The law was to show that man could not live up to that standard. But the law also, we find, is our schoolmaster, Galatians tells us, to bring us to Christ. We find that the law, through the law, not only do we have the tenets of thou shalt and thou shalt not, but we have the law of the temple, the law of the sacrifices, the law of the holy days, that the law showing that man could not redeem himself, that man could not pay for his sins himself. He had to bring a lamb. He had to bring a spotless lamb. He had to bring that lamb and lay his hands on that lamb. And that lamb then took upon itself the curse of the sin. So the law has a purpose, but the law brings condemnation. The law demands perfect obedience. The law cannot justify a transgression. Look at verse 11. That no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. It's evident that no man can be justified. Because if we could be justified by the law, that would mean that we'd have to keep the law perfectly every day. Now the Pharisees tried that, didn't they? The Pharisees tried to keep the law. The Pharisees, they'd added all kinds of things to the law of Moses. And they kept things down to where they would tithe of spices. They would get spices and they would say, I have to take and have to sort this spice out. I don't know if they counted the seeds of the spices or what. We have to tithe. But Christ said, you omitted the weightier parts of the law. The law cannot justify a transgression. No man is justified in the sight of God. Paul repeats this in the book of Romans, verse chapter 3 and verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. We live in a day when it's almost hard for people to understand what sin is anymore. Remember years ago, Mrs. Holm and I were teaching a class in Sunday school of maybe 5 and 6 year olds, kindergarten age. And I, even to that age, I presented the gospel to them every week and tried to show them how to be saved. And I remember this one little fella that he raised his hand. He needed to be saved. So he and I went in the hallway. And we were out in the hallway. So I remember there's lockers around the wall. And I was kneeling down next to him. And I asked him, and I said, and I forget his name. I said, now, have you ever sinned? Thought about it? Says, nope. So I tried again. Have you ever done anything wrong? Thought about it? Nope. Let me ask you. Try it one more time. Let me ask you. Have you ever done anything your mom got angry with you about? And his eyes went, oh yeah. Yeah. I said, what was that? He said, I set her bed on fire. I said, I think you need to be a few more weeks before we talk again. See, by the law is the knowledge of sin. The children of Israel understood clearly, because of the law, that they could not save themselves. That they could not do enough good to make themselves holy and righteous before God. We understand that our salvation is all by grace. John 1:17 says, For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Here in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Paul also writes in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now Christ did not become a sinner on the cross, understand that. But Christ became a sin offering for us on the cross. Galatians 4:4 and 5 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them which were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We have to understand that we are no longer under the law. We no longer have to follow the tenets of the law, because we are saved by grace through faith. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And Paul uses some very strong language here. Understand that Paul was raised through the synagogues, raised as he was taught at the feet of Gamaliel, that the law was the end.
that it was in obeying the law, it was keeping the law, that all those things were drummed into him day by day and week by week as he grew up. But he said to believe that is foolish. He said the law brings a curse because we can never be fully justified by keeping the tenets of the law.
Verse 13, we see here again, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. The final thought, we the justified must live our lives by faith. We the justified must live our life by faith. You see, we don't trace our heritage back to Mount Sinai and the law. The law was our schoolmaster, Galatians says, to bring us to Christ. The law was the schoolmaster for the children of Israel. And the thought there is of someone who had the training for a young man from his early ages up to adulthood that taught him and brought him and taught him the things he knew to become a valuable adult in society. He said that's what the law was, to bring us to the place where we would put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. See, for without the law, the children of Israel would not understand that they needed a redeemer. Because they would think, much like much of society thinks today, we're doing pretty good by ourselves. I really don't need God because I'm pretty, you know, I've got a good life, I'm happy, I'm healthy, I don't need God. But the law was there to bring us to the place where we would understand clearly we needed Jesus Christ as our Savior. Christ was promised before the law. Genesis 3:15, God speaks to the serpent and says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Wait, before the law. In Genesis chapter 12, and Paul refers to that in this portion of scripture, God speaks to Abraham. And he saw, now the Lord said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And notice what he says, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. Here's the promise now. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. He tells Abraham, through you, through your descendant, the blessing did not come through the law. The blessing did not come through the keeping of the law. 430 years before the law, God speaks to Abraham and says, it's through you, it's through the faith of Abraham that the Messiah would come. Whenever the truth is preached and proclaimed, there are always those who would come in and try to corrupt the truth. Today they don't do it so much as coming into the church and trying to work inside the church to corrupt the truth, but they have a more insidious way to do it through television ministries, through radio ministries, through internet, corrupting the truth. Saying that, well, it's good, you know, to do this, but you need to give money to my ministry because you'll not be blessed unless you give money to my ministry. The prosperity gospel, that God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. God wants you to prosper. Some famous evangelist or preacher's wife said, God, the greatest thing God wants you to be happy. That's the most important thing in the world, is for you to be happy. No, God says the most important thing in the world for you to be is holy. You see, error always comes in when truth is preached because the devil can't stand the truth. And he wants to water it down. He wants to corrupt it with error. Just some concluding thoughts. Freedom from the law, and we are free from the law. We sing a song, free from the law, a happy condition, does not give us license to sin. If we follow the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we find that Christ says that we go beyond the law.
The law dealt with actions. Christ said, I want you to understand that I'm dealing with intents, the thoughts of your heart. Our thoughts and intents need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Living a legalistic life is denying the grace of God and the Spirit of God freedom to work in your life. Living a legalistic life. It's sad that sometimes Christians might not go back to the tenets of the law, but we have our own code of legalism. And we say, well, I believe we have to do this, and I believe we have to do this, and I believe we have to do this. Well, that's fine if every I believe is backed up by Scripture. But sometimes we want to write our own book, you know. First Homan. You know, faith doesn't have 613 commands like Moses did. It holds us to a higher standard. What's that standard? The crucified life. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I live in the flesh, I live in the life which I live daily. Can't remember. I live to the Son of God who loved me and died, gave himself for me. I missed a phrase there. But understand, it's the crucified life. Paul said, I die daily. I am crucified with Christ. The just shall live by faith, free from the law, but subject, if you will, to a higher law, the crucified life. Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed, eyes closed.